Thanks, Holly. Next we have Lisa Hodes from the Gold Standard Foundation. Lisa.
Thank you. Good morning. On behalf of the Gold Standard Foundation, I would just like to thank ICAO for the invitation to speak here today. From a personal perspective, these discussions are very encouraging to me because I travel a lot for work, and so I have a fair amount of guilt about the size of my carbon footprint. And knowing that the aviation industry is taking steps to making air travel more sustainable is certainly very reassuring to me. And consequently, I am very pleased to be here to introduce the Gold Standard today. Just by a show of hands, how many people are familiar with Gold Standard offset projects? Okay, half and half. I'm happy to start from the beginning. The Gold Standard Foundation is a certification standard active in the CDM, JI, and voluntary carbon markets. We certify only the highest quality carbon offset projects. It was founded in 2003 at a time when, much like today, offsets were sort of shrouded in controversy and largely perceived as bogus. And at that time, a group of NGOs formed a coalition, and they came together to prove to the market that it was possible to create a high-quality offset project. These NGOs, WWF, South South North, Helio International, they originally established the Gold Standard as a high-quality label for CDM projects, meaning that if a project developer was putting a project through the CDM project cycle, and if they decided to take some extra steps, mostly around contributions to sustainable development, then that project developer would receive the Gold Standard high quality label. And internally, we sort of refer to this as a gold star, so to speak. Anyway, that project would then stand out as a benchmark for excellence in the carbon markets. And in return, the project developer would receive a higher price for those credits that were issued from that project. The initiative was very successful, and so in 2006, the Gold Standard launched its voluntary standard. Since then, the primary goals of the Gold Standard have been to reward excellence in the carbon markets while promoting sustainable development. The Gold Standard has been globally recognized for its excellence in certification. Our buyers and supporters include the United Nations Foundation, which has offset some of its meetings with Gold Standard CERs. The United Kingdom, Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, and various Fortune 500 companies, including airlines such as Virgin Atlantic and KLM Royal Dutch Airlines. Since Gold Standard's founding, the market for certification standards has become somewhat crowded, and many players claim to certify high-quality offset projects and high-quality offset credits. So how do you know that you are actually getting a high-quality offset credit? We think that the recipe for a high-quality offset project is pretty easy to follow. The highest quality offset projects are renewable energy or energy efficiency. They adhere to the UNFCCC's strictest standards for additionality. They contribute to sustainable development, and they undergo rigorous third-party checks. And what do I mean by this when I say third-party checks? Under the Gold Standard project cycle, a project is checked on three levels. First, it's checked on the ground by the designated operational entity, the DOE, which is a third-party auditor that is certified by the UN. That project application then goes to our technical team, We have a very large technical team spread out around the world to cover the different regions where we have projects. And so our technical team then does a very thorough review of all of the documents to make sure that the emissions reductions are quantified correctly. Later it's reviewed again to verify that the emissions reductions are actually happening. And then for the project to actually get approved, it has to be reviewed by our Technical Advisory Committee, our TAC, which is a group of volunteer engineers who are located throughout the world, and they come together. They're sort of our supervisory scientific committee, and they must approve the project in order for it to issue credits. So if you follow these simple steps, your credits will be real, permanent, additional, verifiable, and enforceable. In short, they will meet all of the criteria for a high-quality offset project. Now, we certainly don't have a monopoly on all of the high-quality projects in the market. There are a lot of great projects out there. So why buy gold standard, or why develop a gold standard project? I get asked this question a lot. And so I usually say, okay, let's take a minute to step back and think about what we're actually talking about. 1 ton of carbon dioxide or its equivalent. You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't touch it, and you can't taste it. So it can be sort of hard to imagine in tangible terms. And as a buyer or as a project developer, you want to make sure that you are getting exactly what you pay for. And the gold standard certification process ensures exactly that. For me, I'm a lawyer by training. From my perspective, also, the analysis would be all about risk. From a legal perspective, the gold standard's rigorous project cycle and its emphasis on the local host community controls legal risks, such as non-delivery, fraud, misrepresentation, or other risks that contribute to general project failure, which happens, unfortunately. But it is indeed our emphasis on local stakeholder acceptance that distinguishes us in the market. The project must either have neutral or positive impacts on the local host community. It cannot negatively impact the local host community, or the project developer has to go back and fix that. And I think this point is sort of underestimated by a lot of folks. People that I come across don't really understand that the support of the local host community is critical to the project success. The community can really make or break your project, and I have a case study that will demonstrate this point. All of these elements have given us an excellent reputation in the market, which has translated into higher prices for our credits, and indeed, even with the economic downturn, our prices have remained resilient. We haven't, we saw a slight tick downwards in our prices, but we certainly didn't see the steep drops that other standards experienced. I'm not going to go into sort of issues about Kyoto post 2012, but I will say that given all of the political uncertainty in the market, there has been a lower appetite for risk, and so the gold standard has traditionally been the standard where your risks are the lowest. Sorry, 1 minute? Oh, okay, then I'm going to speed through. Talk about current trends in the market. What we're seeing are... we're seeing that there's still a negative stigma attached to offsets, especially among the general public, particularly in the U.S., where I'm based. Many large companies are wary of offsetting because their consumer base may not support it. That's why when companies do consider offsetting, they consider quality and co-benefits to be critical. Co-benefits, environmental co-benefits, not strictly from the legal perspective, risk management, but also from a marketing perspective. And it is indeed the marketing value of the gold standard that is also very attractive to buyers and sellers. The gold standard, we work with our community to provide as much marketing support as possible, which you'll see in the next couple slides. We tend to publish case studies to promote our best projects and companies that have been the most successful with offsetting. Just want to get to those. Okay, great. This is the Kuyasa Solar Housing Project. It is located in the Khayelitsha Township, right outside of Cape Town, South Africa. These photos are actually straight off the press. I was there last week and took these photos. It's actually why I'm a little tired, a little jet lagged. But I was there last week with Deutsche TV, which was filming a documentary as part of a climate series they're doing. So the Kuyasa project has been very successful. It is a gold standard CDM project developed by the city of Cape Town. And it involves outfitting 2,300 homes with solar water heaters, insulation, and energy efficient light bulbs. The average household saves 50% on their electricity bill. It's created a ton of jobs for the local community. You can see here that a couple of pictures highlight local residents that are installing the solar water heaters. They're maintaining the project. The one gentleman with his back to us, his uniform says, "We do it ourselves," in the local language. Perhaps one of the most striking effects of the project has been the improvement in the local health. There has been a drastic decrease in cases of tuberculosis, which in combination with AIDS is probably one of the primary causes of death in the township. Indeed, the Kuyasa project lost two of its employees just in the last year. But I do want to note that the Kuyasa project is an excellent example of how the support of the local community and the input from the local community can affect the project design. This project was initially designed to have all of these components plus an energy efficient showerhead component. But when the local community was queried, we found out that in fact they don't take showers. They bathe in buckets. And so when asked whether they would use the showers, they said, "Yes, we'll use the showers, but not to shower. We will use it for storage." So, as you can imagine, the showerhead component was scrapped, saving the project developer a lot of time, money, and headache. Just two more slides. This is one of my personal favorite projects. It's a mini hydro project in Zambia. Two points that make this project exemplary: the number of jobs that it has created locally, 450, most of them for women, and these jobs represent the first time that these women have earned an income. Also, the improvement in the local, the improvement in the quality of the healthcare that is provided to the local community. The hospital now has access to affordable electricity, so they can use machines. And finally, the last case study, which I think many of you will find interesting, it is a wind project developed by KLM Royal Dutch Airlines. It is located on the island of Bonaire. And the goal of the project is to provide the entire island with renewable energy. So we're talking about approximately 30,000 tons a year in reductions. It's created, you know, new jobs for the local community, and it was paid for through KLM's passenger compensation program called CO2Zero. I just learned about this project. It was just registered last week. So what we're going to do in partnership with KLM is publish a case study. So, and we will use that case study as well in our marketing materials. So keep an eye out for that. And finally, I'll just end by saying, you know, we're involved in the CDM. We have a CDM side of our business and the voluntary side of our business. And the CDM side of our business is driven mostly by innovation coming from the EB, the executive board. But on the voluntary side, we have the freedom to pursue our own initiatives. And so I won't go through this entire slide, but I will note that we have a bioethanol methodology under review. We have a biodiesel methodology that's been approved, and I have been sent here to learn as much as possible about biofuels because we want to learn as much as possible about biofuels. And so if you're interested in working with us to develop some biofuel methodologies, please find me. Let's exchange information, and I will look forward to speaking with you. Thank you.